Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu, and this is Health Chat. Welcome to the program. It is great to be with all of you listeners in Africa and from wherever you're tuning in on the first Health Chat broadcast of 2016. Happy New Year. For those of you who have been connected to Health Chat and VOA, Voice of America, you will agree that last year was a busy year in health. There were some progress and some drawbacks as well. Polio, malaria, tuberculosis, non-communicable diseases, and of course Ebola were a few of the stories that we reported last year. Well, on the program today, we will take a look back at some of the major health news stories and discuss what to look forward to this year if we can anticipate. To do that, we are joined in the studio by two of my Voice of America colleagues who have covered extensively global health and health in Africa in particular. We have Carol Pearson. She's a reporter with VOA. Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also joining us is Joe DiCapua. He's managing editor of VOA's Africa News Tonight. Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Great to have the both of you. I've been using a lot of your stories on Health Chat here, so some of the listeners are familiar with your voices. And let me tell you that we will start our discussion shortly. But first, let's start with this report by Carol Pearson as she takes a look at some progress made in 2016.
Ebola claimed more than 3,000 lives in 2015. Clinical trials for potential vaccines began early in the year. Then in July, a vaccine trial in Guinea proved amazingly successful. Jan Arne Rottingen with the Norwegian Institute of Public Health was the study co-author.
Based on the number of individuals and cases we see, there is 100% protection in those vaccinated.
2015 also saw progress in the fight against HIV, the virus that causes AIDS. In November, the United Nations announced there have been significant reductions in new infections and AIDS-related deaths. Dr. Anthony Fauci at the National Institutes of Health has worked to stop AIDS for most of his career.
If you look at the trajectory of the epidemic, we are on a course towards ending it in the sense of as we know it, because we've always known it as going up, now it's flattening off, and now it's going to start to go down.
The year saw a major advance in ridding the world of polio. In September, the World Health Organization removed Nigeria from the list of countries where polio is endemic. The crippling virus once circulated in 125 countries. Now there are only two, Afghanistan and Pakistan. Dr. Jay Wenger with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation said it's time to redouble efforts to get all children vaccinated.
If we can knock it out there, we're finished with wild poliovirus.
The challenge is to get the vaccine to Afghan children in areas held by Islamic militants. Other challenges include developing new antibiotics. The World Health Organization warned that we are heading towards a post-antibiotics era, one in which common infections will once again kill because of antibiotic resistance. Tuberculosis and malaria are also developing resistance to drugs used to treat these diseases. The WHO has called for an intensified campaign in 2016 to end the global TB epidemic. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
And Carol, that was a great story to kind of give us a sense of some of what happened in 2015. So when we look at this, we have, of course, positive outcomes and then some drawbacks. What can you tell us in terms of the vaccine on Ebola? Because Ebola has been a big story, whether it was 2015 before. Where do we stand?
Well, right now, things are looking very hopeful for Ebola because all three West African countries where Ebola, the epidemic, broke out, have been declared Ebola-free by the World Health Organization. So, and then the other good news about Ebola is that I don't think experts ever expect to see the kind of outbreak that we witnessed over the past 2 years.
We hope not.
Well, they've got a vaccine. In fact, they've got other vaccine candidates. But I was talking to the man from the Norwegian Institute for Public Health. He was the one who helped design the study. He told me that the vaccine was 100% effective, and scientists don't usually to say that. Yeah. However, they would do like ring vaccinations. One person, they would have Ebola. They would vaccinate all of that person's contacts, and then if need be, they'd vaccinate all the contacts of those people so that you can stop it. They don't ever expect to see it go, you know, just like wildfire across the country.
Mm-hmm. And do we have an idea in terms of when we anticipate to have this released and, you know, get people?
Well, the vaccine has been proven effective.
Yes.
And Merck is the company that they decided would make this vaccine, and because they have the ability to make a lot of it. And the other thing is that the hope is, and what the World Bank and the World Health Organization, along with other operations, the CDC, they want to leave these three countries with clinics, with laboratories, with they've also got a faster diagnostic for Ebola, in better shape health-wise in terms of healthcare than they were before. So if somebody has this disease, it can be diagnosed rapidly, and everyone around that person can be treated. Mm-hmm. There's still no cure for Ebola.
Sure. Okay. And Joe, you covered Ebola extensively, obviously. What is your reaction to this?
Well, one thing I'd like to add to that is that the vaccine would solve a lot of problems. But remember, there were about, 28,000 cases, 11,000 deaths. And they found out that a lot of these people who survived have long-term after effects.
Yes.
So here you survive this deadly virus, and you think you're free and clear, but you're not. A lot of them, starting with 2 months and possibly lasting years, are coming up with problems with vision, with hearing, with joint problems. Mm-hmm. And it's lasting a long time. So instead of the epidemic being totally over, now you have to deal with a lot of follow-up care. And we don't know the full extent of whether these will be long-term disabilities that will affect their livelihoods and their families. So the legacy of Ebola is not over yet in West Africa.
Yes, and that's being studied. But experts hope there will never be another 28,000 people who have to live with the after effects of
it. Right, because most of the Ebola stories we covered would be some rural area in Africa, it would last about 3 weeks or 4 weeks. You either lived or died, and the outbreak was over. Because they would contain it. Yeah. No one ever thought that, like
that
you
there
said,
will be what they call the post-Ebola syndrome. Because I spoke to one expert who was talking about the fact that they don't know much about post-Ebola syndrome. They are now learning more and more. So it's something to look, perhaps, to keep an eye on in the future.
Yeah, definitely. A vaccine would help that. Yeah, would prevent. We think would prevent that, right?
We hope so, definitely. And there are so many more topics you touched on. We will come back to that. And Joe, you talked about different topics during 2015. You reported on different topics. One of the stories that we wanted to use today is you did an interesting story about life expectancy. People are living longer.
They are living longer, not necessarily better.
Okay.
One thing I noticed in this country, I remember visiting my mother in a rehabilitation center and walking down the halls and seeing so many very elderly people in wheelchairs just sitting there, staring. Oh. So they lived a long life, but I said to myself, is it worth it, right? So many of these people lived a long life. They're well into their 90s, a lot of them, but they had so many accompanying illnesses that made the quality of life terrible.
And we'll talk more about that. Let's listen to the report, and we'll come back to the quality of life and everything else.
Around the world, life expectancy has risen by 6 years since 1990. A new study says much of that is due to advances against HIV/AIDS and malaria. In addition, progress has been made in reducing deaths from communicable diseases and maternal, newborn, and nutritional disorders. The top 10 places with the highest life expectancies are Japan, Singapore, Andorra, which is a microstate near Spain and France, Iceland and Cyprus, followed by Israel, France, Italy, South Korea, and Canada. The U.S. ranks 34th in the World Health Organization's rankings for life expectancy. That's believed due to a wide range of health issues among a diverse population. Tao Voss is the lead author of the study. He's a professor of global health at the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. Voss says there's been a marked reduction in mortality rates from almost all causes.
Most importantly, all the infectious diseases that affect young children, the neonatal problems, so the problems following birth. But we've also seen very steady declines in injury deaths, and the rates of mortality from some of the big non-communicable diseases are slowly, or a bit more than slowly, declining as well.
For many, however, the quality of life in those extra years may be marred by health problems.
You increase the average lifespan of people, and with increasing age, you are more likely to get diseases that impair your ability to function. While we've been relatively successful at reducing the big causes of death, we've been less successful in making a dent in these causes of long-term disabilities.
Voss says some diseases and disabilities can be prevented, but he says investment in treating or curing them has not kept pace with investments for major diseases.
So we make a plea to medical research community to start thinking about investing more in those big causes of disability rather than mortality. And hopefully that will lead to some of the breakthroughs that we've seen that have led to the reduction in mortality.
9 out of the 10 countries with the lowest life expectancies are in sub-Saharan Africa. Lesotho is the worst, with a life expectancy of just 42 years. It's followed by Swaziland, Central African Republic, Guinea-Bissau, and Zimbabwe. Then Mozambique, Afghanistan, Chad, South Sudan, and Zambia.
Yeah, the big common threat there is the extent of the HIV epidemic. I actually worked for 10 years in Southern Africa myself, and I worked in Lesotho before HIV had affected the country. There were already a lot of poverty-related diseases.
Ischemic heart disease, a reduced blood flow to the heart, is the leading cause of what's officially known as DALY, or disability-adjusted life years. Number 2 is lower respiratory infection, followed by stroke, low back and neck pain, and road injuries. Then there are diarrheal diseases. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, also known as COPD, which includes chronic bronchitis and emphysema. There are also neonatal preterm birth complications and HIV/AIDS. And adding to the list, vision and hearing loss, and mental health disorders. The findings are based on an analysis of all major diseases and injuries in 188 countries. Professor Voss says the goal is to find opportunities to improve health. He says the research will help shape the new Sustainable Development Goals that replace the Millennium Development Goals this year. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Joe, this is such a very good story there because it gives us a sense of really where we are. And one of the things I found surprising was that the U.S. was in the 30s in terms of the ranking. That was surprising. That's surprising.
Just look around when you take the subway to work. How many overweight Americans do you see?
Okay. And that contributes to diabetes, which is a disease also associated with aging.
And it doesn't have to be that way. If you look at the early part of the 20th century, people were not dying from cancer and cardiovascular disease. It was mostly infections because we didn't have antibiotics then, which came around, what, World War II or so, right? So they were dying of other things. So now we're surviving those infections.
Yes.
But we're eating very unhealthy food, a great deal of Americans loaded with lots of fat, unhealthy fats, salt and sugar. And we're now exporting this diet to developing countries. So it's going to be interesting to see in the coming years. It's already showing up there. Mm-hmm. As Carol mentioned, diabetes showing up in these countries like China and elsewhere who are adopting our diet, not the best export probably that the U.S. has.
Yeah, and you know, heart disease is about 90% preventable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's preventable by exercise and diet.
Yes.
You know, good diet.
Yes.
So these disabilities don't, it doesn't have to be your future.
Right, it's not a fate. It doesn't have to be your fate.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so used to, you know, quick food.
Yes, yes.
It tastes great. You have to admit, it tastes great, but it's not.
But it can kill you.
For you.
Basically, if it tastes too good, maybe it can kill
maybe.
You. So listen, Africa is in the lowest mm-hmm. in terms of ranking. Well, I don't even know what to say about that. It's really disconcerting. But perhaps, I don't know if not surprising, I should say it, but we've heard that before. Let me just say, we've heard that before where Africa was countries in Africa were ranked lower on the scales in terms of life expectancy. But it seems like things are not improving. I thought there was some progress in terms of HIV/AIDS because given your report, some of it is blamed on HIV/AIDS and other.
Well, HIV, you know, battered so many African countries for so many decades, right? So the after effects are there. Now we have people, a lot more people on antiretrovirals. Millions more health officials and advocates say need to be on antiretrovirals to finally do away with the epidemic. But Africa already had many diseases that they were dealing with before being hit by HIV. Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that we found out with the Ebola epidemic, their health systems were not that good.
Yes.
They never had to deal with anything this big. When HIV came along, they didn't even know what it was. I remember years ago, it was called Slim disease. They didn't have a name for it. They just knew people lost a lot of weight and then died.
Yeah.
And all they had to try to keep people alive was love and nutrition. And mm-hmm. this was long before antiretrovirals. So you have to give a lot of credit to those who kept people alive. But you know, let's see if one of the after effects of the Ebola epidemic is the promise to improve Africa healthcare systems. Mm-hmm. Let's see if that really happens. It's been talked about for so many years. Let's see if it comes true.
Talked about so many years, different languages, but we're yet to see a big and dramatic change. And Carol, I remember a time when I used to see, at least when I was growing up in Africa, people that were really, really old. I mean, my grandfather lived for over 100 years. It used to be that old people were in Africa. What is it about, nowadays that people are not living so old anymore? I know they talked about HIV, non-communicable diseases, but what do we do? Where can we make a change?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I used to host a show, too, that was a call-in. We had a program on diet, and people from Africa were calling in to see, well, how can I lose weight? And so I don't know how prevalent that is in Africa.
Obesity.
Mm-hmm. But diabetes is considered a pandemic, even in countries with relatively low incomes. So one of the things, you know, that you have to do is resist. I mean, eat nutritious food. There was a study that was very interesting. They did it with South Africans and African Americans, you know, black South Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And they reversed their eating habits for 2 weeks. And they found that the African Americans, after 2 weeks, their health was beginning to improve.
Mm.
However, the South Africans' health was beginning to decline. So one of the things you really, really have to look at is, what is it that you're eating?
Yes, apparently.
And a lot of the, you know, convenient foods are not good for you.
Mm. Okay. Now, going back to your report, Carol, there was a different topics that you covered, of course. And one of the things is Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has been really one of the outspoken and well-known voices of the HIV/AIDS fight here in the United States. He seemed to be very confident in terms of getting toward the end of the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Why are they so confident?
Well, he says that we're beginning to see the end of HIV/AIDS as we know it, which was people getting sick, people dying. The UN, or World Health Organization, reported that AIDS-related deaths worldwide have fallen by 42% since 2004. It's because more people are on AIDS medications. And if you're on an antiretroviral, you can have such a low viral count in your blood that you would have a great deal of difficulty to pass it on to somebody else.
Yeah.
So that gives you a lot of hope. The other thing is that they've found that people, you know, partners of people who have HIV disease, if they take Truvada, they reduce their risk by about 90% of getting that disease. So you have, and they've already made a lot of progress in knocking it out between mother and child transmissions. Mm-hmm. So you have more people not getting infected. But again, the people who already have this disease are going to need to be on medication for all of their life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Otherwise, it will come back.
Okay.
So, you know, the real goal is a vaccine, but there isn't one right now that's effective.
Well, one thing they're trying to do with that, with as Carol mentioned, the virus goes dormant in many places. So there's now research underway to wake it up. You wake up the virus, make it active, then you nail it with the antiretrovirals. Because the antiretrovirals can't get to the places where it's sleeping.
Okay.
So when you wake it up, it becomes active, boom, it's recognized. And I can't remember the name of the term for this, but it's like a shock and awe thing. Wake it up, nail it. That's one of the ways they're looking at to try to get rid of those reservoirs of HIV in the body.
That's the target.
And vaccine research continues. They're doing a follow-up study on the Thailand study of a few years ago, which was like 30-something percent effective. Certainly not something you can take to market, but they're trying to follow up to find out, well, it shows that it could be effective. How can we make it better? So we may hear more about that maybe sometime this year.
Okay. Good news, some good news. Nigeria is polio-free.
Oh,
what
yeah.
can you tell us about
well,
polio?
This is great for all the whole African continent, because if Nigeria remains polio-free for the next 2 years, all of Africa will be polio-free. The cases that have broken out in the continent all were imports from Nigeria.
Okay.
And so they, in fact, there are three strains of polio, and they haven't seen one of these strains in a number of years. And so they're going to stop vaccinating against that strain, because sometimes that strain can become active when you receive the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good news. And the only thing they really do have to do is now knock it out of the two remaining countries, Afghanistan and Pakistan, and that's going to be a challenge because of the ongoing conflict.
Yes, indeed.
But if you can do that, it's gone.
Okay, that's good news. Now, Joy, any perspective on malaria? This malaria has been on the continent for as long as we remember. Where do we stand now?
Well, as Carol can tell you too, they're making progress against malaria as far as you know, are they going after the vectors, the mosquitoes, doing that, using bed nets and things like that. And they continue to work on vaccines, try to develop one for there. I guess they are concerned, though, about some of the current medication, whether I think there were reports that some resistance was being found in some Asian countries.
Yes.
So that's of a concern, you know, when you keep using something. Well, we don't look at these parasites as intelligent organisms. They can naturally start adapting, just like HIV. HIV constantly would reproduce, but every time it would reproduce and make a mistake, they would say, in the DNA. Well, that little mistake made it unrecognizable sometimes to the immune system, because it changed. So the parasites adapt, so you have to keep that in mind, that although you may have a great medication, you can't count on it forever. You constantly have to keep the research going.
Okay. Now, what do you anticipate will be some of the big stories? Of course, you cannot predict the future, but given your experience and the stories you've covered last year, at least what will be your interest in terms of what you're looking forward to?
Well, I'm getting out my crystal ball right now, looking into it. I think that the World Health Organization is going to approve the vaccine against Ebola.
Okay.
They didn't submit it for approval because the approval process is so lengthy. But now that it's, you know, pretty much taken care of, at least the active disease, they're going to, I would expect to see something like that this year.
And if it happens, you heard it first here on VOA. And that was Carol, right?
Right. We'll review this in about a year.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
Joe, what will you be looking forward to?
I'll be looking forward to see whether there's a greater realization that taking a pill for various diseases, whether it's diabetes or whatever, does not cure the disease. It often treats symptoms. And I'm hoping that there's a realization that lifestyle, mm-hmm. which they're finding out from a study like epigenetics, which shows that your fate, your genes are not your fate. Your lifestyle, what you eat, exercise, things like that, can affect the various genes in your body that control disease. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that they'll come to the realization of a greater awareness of prevention, okay. rather than just let's have more medication to treat the symptoms because that's easier.
Okay, okay. You know, one of the stories that I covered, and I think both of you, if not at least one of you covered, is road traffic injury. And I was surprised to see that it caused so many deaths every year, but we don't, in Africa at least, and we don't seem to talk about it very much. Do you have any reaction to that?
I think they keep trying to make the road safer. But you have to, not even necessarily African countries. Do you ever try to see the drivers in Italy?
I mean, in this area.
Yeah,
it's
I took a cab from the Rome airport. I thought I was going to die. It was 200 miles an hour in and out of traffic.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, so it's that way in a lot of countries, too, with a lot of traffic.
Yes.
Not necessarily defensive drivers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's my turn, I'm going. So that's part of it. And then making the road safer, too. You know, how wide are they? The barriers that are erected. You know, are the roads paved? If you have a lot of potholes, you hit that, you can get out of control. So, but that's an investment. And they know the causes. They know how to reduce it.
Okay.
It's an investment.
All right. Now, before we finish, I wanted to mention very quickly the Sustainable Development Goals as it pertains to health, not to go into details. We went from the MDGs to the SDGs, and the three of us have covered it at some point. How do you feel about the SDGs from where we're coming from in terms of some of the progress and where are we going with this?
We've made significant progress in preventing prematurity, or when you do have babies, the kangaroo mother care, mm-hmm. where you strap the baby to a woman's chest. So there's skin-to-skin contact. And this stimulates the baby, and it prevents a lot of deaths. I think that's one of the goals that they're working on, is reducing infant mortality. And they've seen a lot of success in that.
Some success in that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we started out with what? I think it was 8 MDGs, and we have 17 mm-hmm. Sustainable Development Goals,
yes.
which I cannot name all of them right now.
Of
we're
course.
Still trying to go through them. So we're just starting, so it's almost really too early to tell. Hopefully, it's a continuation of what we did.
Yes.
Some progress has been made,
mm-hmm.
some areas uneven. We'll see. We'll see what the effects of climate change will be on diseases as places get warmer and they have diseases that they never had before. So we'll see.
Climate change, a big story there.
Yes, and there, if climate change, if it's not stopped, there will be, they're predicting that there's some places in Africa that will be too hot for malaria.
Oh, okay.
Too hot for malaria.
It's not too bad, actually, right? Okay,
no,
say that.
It'll spread to other places, too.
Well, that's not good.
Which is not good.
Climate change is an issue, definitely. And Jody Kapwa, thank you so much for joining us. Carol Pearson, I appreciate your time. And that was Health Chat for today. I thank you, all of you, for joining us from everywhere in Africa and around the world. I'm your host, Linor Mudu, in Washington, with producer Jackson Vunganyi. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.